Morning. Congratulations. You guys have successfully made me nervous. So, I'd like to start out this morning just by wishing everybody Merry Christmas. And thank you for coming. I'm not a pastor, so if you're looking for a big flowery speech, you're not going to get one. We're going to start with a little bit of a quiz for you guys. So as soon as Graham gets back there, he's going to put a picture up on the screen behind me. It's of a young man. And if you know the name of this young man, I want you to raise your hand and I'll pick somebody to see whether we know who that is. Can anybody, everybody in this room who knows who that is, raise their hand. Mrs. Scott, who is that? That is indeed Prince George. Prince George is about 8.5 years old. He'll be 9 in July. So this morning I wanted to do a little bit of a comparison on the entrance of two different kings into the world. And I want to talk out first about Prince George. Prince George was born July 22nd, 2013 at St. Mary's Hospital in London. He was announced by a press release, which of course went international. Display of the traditional easel in the forecourt of Buckingham Palace. There was 21-gun salute signaled his birth at the capitals of Bermuda and New Zealand. The bells at Westminster Abbey were rung. His official title, if you ever get to meet him, you'll want to know this, is His Royal Highness, Prince George of Cambridge. He is third in the line to the throne of England. Commemorative coins were issued by the Royal Mint and the Canadian Mint, the first time a royal birth was marked this way. He was christened October 23, 2013, with water taken from the Jordan River. He has had visits from many world leaders, one of these being former President Barack and Michelle Obama. He also carries what's called the Prince George effect. What he wears sells. So if you go online and you look at the picture of him when he met former President Barack, he was wearing what looked like a little white house coat. He was much shorter. He wasn't quite as old then, but kind of a little white house coat. As soon as that picture went out, those sold out all over the world. He was ranked 49th on GQ's top dressed men in Britain in 2015. In 2018, he became the youngest person to appear on Tatler's best dressed list. So there you have Prince George. The second king I want to talk about is the king that we're all here to celebrate this morning, Jesus Christ. His birth was anything. It was probably less than ordinary. Born in a manger somewhere near Bethlehem. His birth was announced by angels. Now, it's kind of funny because those angels didn't go to presidents and world leaders and announce his birth. They went to shepherds. If you're not familiar with shepherds, our pastor Ken says they are today's equivalent of the cattle runners at North Central Livestock Exchange. His visitors who came to visit him but were slightly late because they left from very, very far away when they came to visit him were magi, and they came bearing gifts for him, and they would have came, some say, up to 2 years after he was born. He also had the shepherds show up at his birth, the odd cow, sheep, and animals. The interesting part about his birth was foretold hundreds, if not thousands, of years before by the prophets. And we heard those readings from the book of Isaiah this morning. He lived humbly for a king. If you look at his walk, when he walked on planet Earth, he walked very humbly. And much like his arrival, he lived and walked with 12 guys. And not 12 guys of any position, not 12 guys of major influence in their day. One of them being a tax collector who was not highly sought after, not known, not well known, not perfect men. I'm sure Prince George is not surrounded by these type of men today. I'm sure Prince George is surrounded by people of influence, and he has, if you read farther, he started school at age 2. Jesus's life was much lower keyed than that. He lived his life, but not in high regard. He was proclaimed the King of the Jews, but in retrospect, he was not highly regarded by any of the religious leaders of his day. They actually worked really hard to discredit him. But some of the things that he did that Prince George could never do is he walked on this earth, and he came and he healed the sick. And he cast out demons, and he raised the dead. He did nothing but good for people. And not long after, he didn't get to be a very old man, and they crucified him. And they hung him on a cross, and they killed him. And he stayed in that tomb. He was buried in a tomb, and he stayed in that tomb for 2 days. The third day, the tomb couldn't hold him, and he arose, defeating death, something Prince George will never do. And I really pray that Prince George one day meets the King Jesus. So my questions today for you are simple. Is there any doubt in your mind of who Prince George of Cambridge is? Is there any doubt as to whether or not he may one day sit upon the throne of England? Does anybody have any doubts about that? I think that's pretty much assured, as long as he can outlive his grandmother. So my other question for you today is, every year at Christmas, you'll see this scene many, many times as you're out and about. You'll see this scene at many different places. You'll see the nativity scene on your Christmas cards. You'll see it out in front of churches. You'll see it out on some people's lawns. Different things. But for me, that scene raises a question. And I wanted to raise that same question for you this morning. And that is the same question that Jesus asked his disciples when he walked with them on earth. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that this babe is that came very lowly, very humbly, very meekly, very below the radar, not at all like a king would normally come into his birth and his life? Who do you say that he is? Jesus' birth is God showing us that he loved us so very, very much that he came to earth. And he didn't come with royal entrance, and he could have. He could have came with the angels at his side, and he could have came with bright lights and loud music and everything else, and he could have made a royal entrance. And in a lot of ways, that's what the people of the day were looking for. And he did not come that way. But he came meekly and mildly. And the God that came, he came because he loves you so much. And when I say you, he came just for you. If there was only you walking on the planet today, God would have came and did the same thing as he did for everybody. He came and he died for us. If you read your Bible from cover to cover, I hazard to say that there is no doubt that you will look at the manger scene and you'll know exactly who Jesus is, and you will answer like Peter did when Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Son of God. And I believe that that's what you would say after you read the Bible, after you see the prophecies given hundreds of years before, and how Jesus came and walked on this planet Earth, fulfilled every one of those promises. He was walked on this earth sinless, blameless before us. So this morning, you might be here and maybe never thought much about Jesus. My thought for you today is give Jesus some thought. Give this King some thought. And consider who he is and what he came to do. He came for you. Maybe you're somebody here. I remember myself being a teenager, being born and raised in church, coming to church from being 7 days old. But getting to a point in my teenage life when I went, well, I've got to decide. Is this baby Jesus going to be real to me? Or am I going to live my life without recognizing him? So maybe you're that teenager today, and maybe you're faced with that question. And I ask you this year to face that question. And if you've never responded to Jesus, and you're an adult, I ask you the same question. So, like I said before, I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming out and being with us this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God that loved us and that you came to this earth, not flashy, Father God, not with angels and bright lights and everything else, but Father, you came lowly, you came humbly and meekly, and you walked among us, Father God. You walked among us, not men of influence, not men of high position, Father, but you walked with regular people every day, and you walked with them where they were at, Father God, and you showed through your life who you were, and through your works and through your deeds, and I thank you for that. I pray, Father God, that you would be with each and every person this Christmas. I pray, Father God, that you would remind them of yourself, Father, and Father God, that we would remember to honor you this Christmas, the reason for Christmas, that we would remember to celebrate you in your birth and in your coming to this earth and to saving us all. I thank you so much, and I just pray that you'd be with us the rest of this day, watch over us, and guard and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Light all these candles so we don't burn the house down.
Thank you, Kevin. In a few moments, we're going to conclude our Christmas Eve service with the beautiful, beautiful song, Silent Night, Holy Night. And we'd like to do that by candle lighting here. And so just a few words of direction. You can see on your chairs there, we have some candles for you. And for the children, there's some tea lights. But just in order to maintain safety and to make sure that we don't get a lot of melted wax on your clothes and on the chairs, just a couple of instructions. When we come to you with the lighters, hold your candle straight. Once your candle is lit, only hold it upright. Once it's lit, don't tip it. And if anybody comes to you with an unlit candle, tip the unlit candle into it, just so the wax stays under control. And then at the conclusion, when the song is over, I'm going to come and pray a closing prayer, and then just carefully blow your candle out and hold it upright until the wax gets solid. And then when we're finished, we can we'll put them back in the tubs when you leave here. So with that, let's celebrate together this, the conclusion of our Christmas Eve service, Silent Night, Holy Night. You're going to play it first, just once over?
I've got okay. Something to say.
All right,
first.
Very good. And Kevin's got a couple of thoughts he wants to share in conclusion. God bless you.
So Trevor and I have not got together to in any time this week or the month prior to, but how close this whole service has been to the glory of Jesus and to the glory of God. So know that God is with us right now in this place. He is here in the good and the bad. And He will bring us joy, comfort, peace, love, and most of all, hope, anytime we ask. And that's just up to us to do the asking. So if you want to light the candles. After you get your candles lit, then just close your eyes and picture the manger scene. It may not be this one that was shown, but picture the one in your mind. Look down on baby Jesus. Look what God has brought for us as redemption and forgiveness.
Let's conclude in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, in a very unpretentious, unnoticed way. And yet, Jesus has become the Savior of the world, Lord and our Savior. Holy Spirit, we invite you to again refresh us and encourage us. And Lord God, help us rest in this Christmas season in the life, the light that you bring us. Father God, we pray that in this world in which we live right now, that you would use us, Lord, as beacons of hope and light to the world around us. And even as we hold these tiny candles, Lord, a small light, Lord, in a dark world, Lord, we can still be light for you. So I just pray your blessing on each one here, your blessing on each family, Lord God, each opportunity we have to be together over the Christmas season. We pray, Lord, your protection for those who are traveling. We pray, Lord, protection from this virus that's still around. Lord, in all things, we want to honor you and give you the glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.